Good morning. Thank you for the introduction. I have to say, thank you, worship team. You bless me. You bless me. I could see that you are a worshiper. It's not the technique, it's the heart. One thing we do mission is because there's no worship. On the first chapter of John Piper books, Let the Nation Be Glad, they say, mission exists because there's no worship. When I look at your bulletin, I was so encouraged. This is the first time I see a church bulletin to put their vision and the mission statement right on the front. It's so important to put the mission so we know where we're going. I'm sure your journey will be an exciting one. God put a journey in our heart. Everyone, we experience every day, and this is a journey. Isn't this exciting? Can we start it with a word of prayer? Father, thank you for this morning that we can all come together to worship you. Thank you that we can call upon you, Abba Father. It is all because of you. That's why we gather together. It is all because of you that we're coming from different backgrounds, from different age, from different community that we are here. Thank you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that shed on the cross, that now we can unite it in one because of your love. Thank you. Because of your love, we want to pour our life back into you. And may your will be done. And may your will be done in each one of your children, in this world, and in this church, and in this room. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. A journey of blessing. I picked a scripture on Psalm 67. It's on the screen. Can we all read it together? Okay. 1, 2, 3. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your way be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the people praise you, God. May all the people praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the people praise you. God, may all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the end of the earth will fear him. Isn't this a beautiful song? We use this psalm to write on a lot of a greeting card, right? May God be shining his face to you. We all could experience the grace and the blessing of God. We can't deny it. And if we're going to open up the pulpit and let everyone share the testimony, I think we probably will stay here until tonight, isn't it? God's blessing is so abundant and it's so amazing. And does it stop there? I love this psalm because right away it brings our focus back. God bless us for one reason. So that his salvation will be known among all the people and all the nation. We are Chinese. No one will see that we are coming from a Christian background. So when we stand in front of the people and tell that I'm a follower of Christ, it's already a testimony to tell people, hey, God's love come upon us. And churches, Chinese churches, aren't we blessed by him? It's such an amazing blessing that comes from generation to generation. And the generation may not start from the Chinese. If you remember the history of Chinese churches, It was 200-something years ago Morrison came, right, to China, and then Hudson Taylor, and there was many more people that come to China. That was long before we were born, and even before several generations. But God put that heart and the love in those missionaries, and they just can't explain why they love the Chinese so much, right? And now we bless. So how are we going to see the whole cycle? Life is such a wonderful journey. Guys, some of you may be just in high school. Some of you will be in already in university. Some of you are working. And some of you are mother and father and parents. We can always trace this journey. Just then when your worship team leading us to sing The Faithful One, that is one of my favorite songs. God's love is our anchor. I think we can all testify that. And in this journey of life, isn't that what we hold on to? I can change, people can change, but God's love never changes. That is something we can totally depend on. This journey is so exciting. It's not because of who I am, it's because of God. When we go on a trip, we look, we always call this a look and see trip, right? We don't go on a journey with our eye closed. It's the same. In our life, we don't go through it blinded. Even some people are physically blind, they cannot see, but still they can experience, isn't it? So the matter is, when you could see, and when you can experience, how we respond to it, isn't it? Matthew 24, very familiar scripture. You will hear of wars and rumor of war, but you see it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine and earthquake in various places. All these are the beginning of the birth pain. Isn't it like reading the front page on the newspaper, on the CNN? Sometimes it's very, very sad to watch news, right? Every day they're just talking about famine, war, killing. And sometimes we just wonder why we have to see that. Have you ever think about, oh, I don't want to watch the news anymore. Shut it off. I don't see, I don't hear. But will it change anything? No. Because that's reality. So another thing is coming back to how we're going to respond to it. And we're thinking about, oh, life is so suffering. Why we continue? Wouldn't it be good that we just go back to Jesus, go back to God? In Matthew 24, just following that, it says, and this good news about the kingdom will be preached through all the world for a witness to all people, and then the end will come. So that's one condition. We saw a lot of signs, a lot of things that were pointing to the end time. And sometimes we think, oh, wouldn't it be good to be with Jesus? But Jesus, before he died and before he left the earth, he gave us this. The good news needs to be preached through all the world and witnessed to all the people before the end. When we watch the news, we read a book, read the magazine, there's so many people predict the end time is coming. The end time is coming. It's just down the road. Jesus said that no one knows the time, right? But there is enough sign for us to know. is coming. But we can help to usher the end time, because God said that nation have to hear. They have to know Him first. Isn't it exciting that God gave us an opportunity to be teamed up with Him? That God said, I can walk alongside with Him. I can be His tools. I can be His hand to touch and to bless others. Isn't this exciting? Last night, we talked about the 10-foot window. I'm not going to repeat all this information again. You are familiar with the book of Acts. You remember what happened to Paul? Paul wanted to go to Asia, but God just tell him to change, right? They clearly say that the Holy Spirit stopped him and he had to change. So this picture is show you the world is going around, right? Paul, instead of going to Asia that he wanted to do it, and the Holy Spirit turned him to go to west instead of east, so he went to Europe, right? And then from Europe, that's where all the churches, Christianity established there. And then what? The people catch a vision. And also because of persecution, right? So sometimes it's vision and persecution move people. So Christianity come to North America, and from North America is go to Asia, right? Majority of the missionary that's come to Asia, but from Europe and from North America. And now in Asia or in China, we have churches, we have people who know Christ and also excited about it. But are we going to stop there? Last night we talked about the 10-foot window. 10 degrees north to 40 degrees north of the equator. From North Africa to Asia. This block is the most needed place in the world. Last night we also talked about some of the statistics that there is a lot of people, a lot of resources in the Christian circle. But what is the allocation of it? Less than 1% of full-time Christian worker. Now I'm talking not just missionary, I'm talking about Christian worker. It's actually taking part in reaching the unreached people. 40% of the world population are unreached. Last night we briefly talked about that. And in the past, it was because of a lot of political situation, geographic situation, culture, language. It's stopping people to move forward. Or it takes a little bit longer to be able to move forward. Statistic is powerful because it's fact. But I don't want to stay on that. Because God is bigger than the statistic. God can use the statistic to touch our heart. But the important thing is, what's next? Now we talk about, we have to go, go, go. But you know that even in Vancouver, when you walk out of the church, and you look around in your classroom and in your office, there are multi-nationality or multi-ethnic group around you. So globalization is a fact. Globalization is hitting us. Whether we want it or not, it's on our face. I remember 15 years ago when God caught my attention and wanted to go to the Arab world. I hardly see any Muslim wearing the total black thing in my city. But in only 10, 15 years, you see them everywhere. I think at the beginning, you saw people just wearing the headscarf, and then you think, oh, wow, this looks different. But nowadays, even in Vancouver, we can see the woman totally covered up, right? Which we used to only see it on movie or in news. But no, they're now walking on our street. Are we going to just say, I don't see you, and just walk past them? We have a census in Canada. Recently, this is one of the results. And in 2010, 2.8% of the Canadian population are Muslim. According to that trend and projection, in 20 years' time, from 2.8, it will become 6.6. This morning, I'm not going to show you some other statistic, but just looking at this, 20 years down the road, our society, our community will be different. If you are parents, you will know that your children grow up will mingle with a different group of classmates. Can we say, I don't see it now? It's how we respond to it. I love video. I have one really cute one I want to show you. Now, it's my technical challenge. See, I could get it done.
You belong to God. He made you. You exist for Him. The unwasted life is the life that puts Christ on display as supremely valuable. A God-centered theology has to be a missionary theology. There are only three kinds of Christians when it comes to missions. Zealous goers, zealous senders, disobedient. The reason we go is because we have the absolute confidence that the one in whose name we go has all authority, therefore nothing can stop him. The need of the nations who do not know the name of Jesus is an immeasurable need. It's an infinite need. 2.6 billion people live in unreached people groups. It seems to be woven into the very fabric of our consumer culture that we move toward comfort, toward security, toward ease, toward safety, away from stress, away from trouble, away from danger, and it ought to be exactly the opposite.
Isn't this powerful fact? I mean, remember 20 years ago when I immigrated to Canada, that was one very popular saying, say, Freedom 55. A lot of people was looking for easy life, looking for, oh, now I work hard in my life and I just relax. I enjoy my fruit of my labor and fruit of my saving. 2009, when the economy meltdown, a lot of people say, oh, my life-saving got ripped off. Even though very conservative way of investment, people lost one-third, half. And suddenly it seems that it wake up a lot of people. And of course, we don't need to mention about all the 9/11 that incur into our society. Our life is not just about us. It's not just about sailing safely to the end. It has something more. Because this is a mission conference, of course, I always have to bring it back to the commission of God. When Jesus told us we have to go to all the world, go to all nations, and to make disciples, and to witness, Jesus didn't say you go and learn a skill, the four spiritual law, or the Roman technique, and no, God told us to just go and tell what you have experienced and teach them what I teach you. It's good to learn technique, it's good to learn new stuff, and it's good to learn statistics, because those will confirm our conviction. But the most important thing is to live your life out and let people see your life. This is witnessing, right? Anyone have been called to the court? The lawyer or the prosecutor or whoever asking you the question, they didn't ask you how much you know in your study. They asked you what you saw, what your experience, isn't it? This is witness. We say that our life is a journey. We all cannot deny that we were blessed. We are all blessed by God. Are we ready to tell people the blessing that we have experienced? The new life we experience? Do I need to wait for I go through seminary, I go through my university? No, guys, you are in high school. You can tell people Jesus loves you, because I experience Jesus' love, isn't it? Everyone, no matter where we stand, no matter where we are, as long as you are a follower of Christ, you have story to tell, isn't it? Isn't this exciting? We can all be part of the team. The world is screaming out SOS. Save our soul. What is a Christian response to the SOS? I come with these three words. We have to submit, we have to obey, and we have to serve. Jesus is our Lord. It's not just our Savior. If Jesus is our Savior, then we are happy, because I know at the end I don't go to hell, I go to heaven. But Jesus said that we have to carry our cross and follow Him. So we are not just enjoying what we have, but to really, really to follow Him and submit to His teaching and obey His teaching. And what's next? And that mission. Mission is serving. If life is a journey, mission is also a journey. We experience the blessings of God, and can we be a blessing to the others? We can be a blessing wherever we are. And when God put you into a position, when God put you in a country, when God put you to a specific situation, you think God made a mistake? God never makes mistake. God precisely create us, precisely mold us to the point who we are for a higher purpose. The reason is because He loves us. He wants us to walk with Him, learn more about Him, and also be a blessing. Remember Abraham? Why God called Abraham out of his home? So that he will be what? A blessing to all nations. Sometimes Chinese, we can understand that, because a lot of us are second generation or new immigrant. Our parents or ourselves come from different parts of the Chinese world and come to Canada. Now you're in Vancouver. We've gone through the journey. We've gone through these changes. It's not just, oh, I immigrate here because I want to study and I want to have a more stable environment. I want my children to have a better life. Yes, this may be your personal agenda, but God allowed it to happen for a reason. So for us, we all have to find out at this journey why. I encourage you to ask this question. Ask a question to, call this question to God and ask, God, now you open my eye to see something more. What you want me to do? Well, every mission conference, you will hear people talking about this. Prayer, we all can involve in prayer. God understands all languages. If God put a certain people group in your heart, or if God just put your neighbor in your heart and tell you to pray, be faithful to pray. Giving. A lot of time in a mission conference, I think we're always looking at the money term. No. Giving is not just the money. Giving is your time, your skill. And if our life is a gift from God, how we can give it back to God? So giving is not just the money. Money is the easier way. It's more difficult to give your time for the others and give up your skill for the sake of the kingdom. Worship team, you give up your precious time. You need to come and practice. You can sleep in Sunday morning and come half an hour later. Right? But you give the time, you give your talent so that others shall be blessed. Life is also a journey of giving. Participation. I want to give, I got to be involved in something. Now, you can be going to the community right next door and minister to people. You can be just in your classroom and talk to your friends sitting next to you and tell him Jesus loves you. Or you can bake a tray of cookies, just go to your neighbor and say, hey, this is Christmas time. Can I share with you the joy of Christmas? There's a lot of creative way, and there's many ways we can share God's love. And one thing people seldom talk about this is enlisting others. If I'm very passionate about what I'm doing, God put the Arabs in my heart, and God put the Middle East in my heart. If I just do it myself, that's great. But can I share this passion with you and invite you to join the wagon? You may have a different passion, but if I don't share my passion, you wouldn't know, isn't it? So how we multiply ourselves. Worship team, when you organize your group, probably Hazel is the one that, oh, I enjoy worship, right? But you need to gather people and say, hey, come. Let's do the worship together. And Sunday school teacher, You cannot teach all the classes, right? You have to invite others to do it. And listen to others to be involved. If you all wait for Pastor Keith to do everything in the church, I think he wouldn't last very long, because 24 hours, how much he can do? So he is doing a work of enlisting others, preparing others, discipling others, so that we can all work together as a body of Christ. So the church has a mission. The mission is what? So people will worship God, whether this is in your church or whether this is far away. Mission exists because there's no worship. When mission will be done? When people in all nations know how to worship. Around the world, many people worship, but they didn't worship the right God. They are not worshiping the true Creator. And that's why we need to go and tell them, come, worship the Creator, the only one true God, who sent His Son, and through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, we are reconciled to Him. Very simple. We experience that, and we remember that. And I hope this will be our drive and our passion, so that the world will be able to hear the gospel, the precious news. That's why we're gathering here today. It's a celebration because Jesus loved us. Church is a celebration because God loved and the victory on the cross. Journey of blessing is a journey of faith. We start with faith. We trust in Jesus. And it's a continued journey of faith. We trust in God. We hold on to God. It's a journey of obedience. We read the Bible. We hear the sermon. We went to Sunday school. We read books. You remember James? What did he say? If we just hear the word and do nothing, we are like someone go and look at the mirror, right? And walk away and God. So we need to obey what you know and what we hear. If I don't know, I never heard about it, I cannot say. I don't know. So if I don't know, I cannot do anything, right? But once you know, then we can not say that I don't know. And so the matter will be coming to how we do about it. What is our response? A journey of blessing is a focused action. If I say I love my parents, if I do nothing for them, would that be true? Oh, I'm living so far away, I cannot do anything. A call is an action, right? If you say you love your spouse, you don't just sit there and say, I love him, I love her, I love my boyfriend, I love my girlfriend. You're always trying to do something, right? And it's very specific, very focused, right? So, if we say we love God, we want to follow Him, we want to obey Him, it's got to be involved with some action. And those actions need to be focused. Journey of blessing. We all are unique. God created you in a very special way. We are not a robot. I'm not like you. You're not like me. Why? Because God has a special plan for each one of us. Our mission is to find out why. Our mission is to be a blessing. If we receive a lot of blessing and we stop that, it's like what the Bible says that uses word, a channel, right? A channel needs to be continued to flow. And if the blessing stops there, if a channel of water cannot continue and stop here, what will happen to the water in this channel? I don't need to say anything. Unless the clock, the valve open, and let this water continue to flow, and then it becomes living water. Channel of blessing. Very familiar term in the Bible. So this is my prayer unto you and to my fellow brother and sister. Experience God's blessing and be a blessing. Mission is not a choice. Mission is obedience. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you sent your Son to complete the greatest mission, that now we can call you our Father. There's so many more people around the world, around us, they don't know you. They're missing this special relationship with you. They are orphans. They are spiritual orphans. Father, have mercy on them, that they will have the opportunity to hear about your love. Father, we want to know, we want to see your hand working among them. And we want to commit ourselves as you please. Use us, whether it's at home, or in our community, or in our country, or even to faraway land. Lord, will you please do your will and use us for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.